The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
That until I learned to control my thoughts would control me.
Coming up, author and speaker Jennifer Rothschild explores the power of our thought life.
It's as if we have a closet in our mind where we insert every thought, everything we say to ourselves, we hang up in our thought closet. And then what happens is we wardrobe our life with it.
A thought closet makeover next.
Joining us on Life Today, I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James, and we have one of our dearest friends with us today.
Yeah, and you know, we really don't ever have anybody we don't like, so we always say we're one of our favorite guests.
Let me tell you something.
Aww. Jennifer is gorgeous. Jennifer is blind, but she sees so clearly, and she's written a book. I think this is really, it's really a study. Me, myself, and lies. Me, myself, not eyes,
no,
lies. Me, myself, and lies. And all of us hear them. A lot of us say them. I am convinced women, I don't think you have a patent on them, but I think you hear a lot of them. Mm. And I really believe that, I don't know if it's from the time you're a little girl and daddy doesn't make you feel as pretty as every little girl wants to feel. But I really need you to hear this. Even before we talk to Jennifer, nobody can make a girl, no matter how great the dad or the husband, can make a girl feel as pretty, as beautiful, as the Father wants to make you feel.
That's right.
Would you welcome Jennifer Rothschild to life today? Jennifer, I'm glad to see you. You look so pretty. You like to come on Life Today, don't you?
I love to come on Life Today. I am one of your biggest fans, James and Betty. I am one of your biggest fans. So thanks for having me back, and I love your audience.
Well, we're a fan of yours, and we love you. I want you to talk to us about me, myself, and lies. Okay, just cut to the chase. What do you hear? Why'd you write it? What do you communicate?
Well, I wrote it because I realized it was something I struggle with. And I figured if I struggle with it, so do most women. Mm-hmm. And the struggle was in not telling myself the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, see, I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. I became a Christian as an older child. I've loved Jesus my whole life. When I was 15 years old, I was diagnosed with a disease in both of my eyes that caused me to become legally blind. And consequently, has caused me now at the age of 48 to be totally blind. But what's interesting is that at the age of 15, God really implanted this truth within me that it is well with my soul. And it really genuinely is. But I began to notice early into my 20s, it wasn't feeling so well with my soul. And by my late 20s, I thought, it is not so well with my soul. And I'll never forget the morning I woke up, and before my feet even hit the floor, I was barraged with this, you're not a good mother, you can't do anything right, you shouldn't have said that to your husband, and blah, 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 and on and on. I was so defeated before I even stood up. And I remember when my children left for school, I sat at the table with some nice Earl Grey tea, and I asked God, what is wrong with me? It's like I've got this undertow on the surface of my life. It really is well. I love you. I know you've given me peace, God, but I'm fighting against it, this undertow trying to suck me down. And it was as if I heard God say to me that until I learned to control my thoughts would control me. And God began this journey within me, taking me on a quest, learning to recognize what I was saying to my own soul, realizing what was truth and what was a lie, and then being able to refuse those lies and rephrase them with truth. And it has been an incredible journey. And as I took this journey, I realized I have a lot of companions on the trail. And one of the things I read in researching, which I thought was fascinating, is that everybody has this internal dialogue. and I don't know how a researcher discovered this, but we speak to ourselves, and it contains between 150 and 300 words a minute. So if you did the math, that would put you at about 47 to 52,000 words a day.
Really?
And that's incredible, isn't it?
Is that just women?
Well, I don't know. My guess is we are a little faster. So it could be. But here's the point. Most of those are very neutral. You know, seriously, like, I wonder if this jacket looks good or where'd I put my keys. But there is this powerful minority. You're such an idiot. You can't do anything right. God's never going to accept you. You're so fat. There's this powerful minority of words we say to our own souls that we would never say to another human being. And they have such influence. I call it a thought closet. It's as if we have a closet in our mind where we insert every thought, everything we say to ourselves, we hang up in our thought closet. And then what happens is we wardrobe our life with it. So if someone's hearing my voice today and they are wardrobed in despair, or they are just wearing this tight garment of anger that is binding them, it's because of what they have said to their own soul, what they have invited into their thought closet. That's why we've got to recognize what it is that we say to ourselves.
What about that, let's say, very negative, not always necessarily a still small voice, but a very accusing voice, the voice of the accuser? Do you think that plays into what we hear?
I know it does. And the thing is, I've learned about the enemy of our souls is that he sounds a lot like us. If we're from the South, then he sounds very Southern. You know what I'm saying? If we're from New York, he sounds very, you know, Bronx when he talks to you. And I do think he throws these lies at us. And because they're familiar, we can sometimes just automatically embrace them and assume because they're familiar, they belong. And for me, I had to learn that I didn't recognize what I was saying to my soul because it was normal to me. But it was normal like cancer. And it was eating away at the wellness that God had given me. So let me just kind of synopsis for you what God taught me. It kind of made it easy because even though I did just say men were slow thinkers, I evidently am a simple thinker. So I broke it into three R's, okay? And the first one would be this. Recognize. You see, we live in a culture that says, you got to speak positive to your soul, can't be negative. And I don't believe that's true. I think you need to look at what you say to yourself and see if it falls into one of two categories. Is it constructive or is it destructive? Because sometimes something very negative on the surface that you say to yourself, like, Jennifer, you have an anger issue. That can be very constructive because I'm speaking truth to my soul. So you recognize, is it constructive or is it destructive? Part of the ways I started doing it was I would ask myself, because I was a name caller. You know, I'd call myself an idiot. And I would never call anyone that. And so I would ask myself, and this is what I would challenge anyone who hears my voice to do. If they struggle with saying things that are unkind or untrue to themselves, ask yourself, would I say this to another person? How would I feel if someone I really respected, like a boss or a pastor or a mentor, heard me saying this? Or would I be willing to write down everything I say to myself and give it to my child or my grandchild or someone I dearly love and say, here, I want you to talk to yourself this way so you'll have peace and freedom when you grow up. Yeah, that pretty much exposes. That. And so once I began to recognize, then God began to train me to refuse. And here's how I look at refusing is, you know, the verse in 2 Corinthians that talks about holding every thought captive in chapter 10.
Obedient to Christ.
Exactly. So I look at that as if every thought we have has to knock on the door of the thought closet. And so when I had such trouble with name calling, I would hear myself say, you're such an idiot. Well, it was as if I saw that little thought have to knock on my door. And I would open the door and say, who is it? You're such an idiot. Well, I would recognize that wasn't true because I know God doesn't make idiots. And clearly, I may have failed at something, but failing at something doesn't mean you're a failure. And so I began to recognize the difference between what I struggled with and who I really was. And so I would not let that thought enter my thought closet until I rephrased it with truth. Well, the truth is I'm not an idiot. The truth is, in Ephesians 2, I am the workmanship of God. And once I could rephrase that thought with truth, I would allow it into my thought closet and then be wardrobe with that truth. And you want to have an identity and self-esteem that is unshakable? Well, fill your thought closet with the truth of who you are. And who you are is not the same as what you struggle with, or it's not the same as what you've succeeded at. Who we are is exactly who Christ says we are. And in Ephesians 2, we're His workmanship. And I celebrate that. Though I may sometimes be flawed workmanship, I'm still the workmanship.
And to know who we are, we have to spend time in God's Word and with Him in our relationship with Him.
You cannot rephrase a lie into truth if you don't know truth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about all the play on words. There's a difference in being condemned and being convicted. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God may convict us of an area about which we should be rightly concerned.
Yes.
And so we then begin to deal with it, and we allow God to work.
Yeah.
Accomplish His work as the potter,
yes,
working with the clay of a yielded life,
yeah,
to shape a vessel that honors God.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. The enemy is a condemner.
Yes, he is.
He doesn't put conviction on us, which God does, to bring us to Him, to the end of ourselves, and to the sufficiency of Christ. But the enemy will condemn us, and God doesn't give us a word of condemnation. So when you hear that accuser, that is a lie.
Yeah.
That's not truth. And then we need to know the truth, and knowing and confessing the truth and saying the truth does set us free.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot to be said about saying who God says we are, the new creation in Christ, more than overcomers in this life. We are more than conquerors. Mm-hmm. We are priests and kings. We are a holy generation. We're a royal priesthood. We are saints.
Yeah.
I mean, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. These are the confessions of a new creation.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're talking about. And that really is what the whole study is about.
It is.
It really gets you into the Word so that you know about not only yourself from your perspective, but God's and who He says you are. And you begin to identify and deal with the lies. Tell us, you said you'd had some experiences or some things that happened that you wanted to tell us about, I think, that relate to some of the things in the book.
Well, one of the things I learned is that maybe this is exclusive to women, I don't know, but I realized that by default, I was trusting my feelings more than I was trusting God. Because feelings are so powerful, you know? And so sometimes that which feels most powerful is what we assume we need to bow to. And as I began to examine truth, I realized that I was trusting my feelings more than I trusted God. And the statements of who I am in Christ never begin with, I feel. They don't. They begin with, I am. And so as I have learned to do that, you know, I mean, let's be honest. When I'm on a stage or on a TV show, I am wearing beautiful makeup and beautiful clothes, and I make blindness look like the easiest thing anybody ever did. And it's not. It's hard. It's humiliating. There can be moments of despair. There can be overwhelming fear. There can be raw frustration that steps onto the border of anger and is just ready to jump across and say, "That's it, God." I mean, it's hard. And if I trusted those feelings, each one of them being extremely powerful in and of themselves, but then when you put them together, it can be just an emotional fest that ends very poorly. Mm. If I trusted my feelings more than I trusted God, I wouldn't be here on this stage. I would have every reason to be full of despair and to say to myself, "You're hopeless. God's not gonna heal you. This is never gonna get better. Your husband's gonna leave you at any minute because you're such a burden to him." I could easily go to those places without the truth of God protecting my thoughts and making those thoughts obey Him. And I know that what I'm saying, what I've struggled with, may be slightly different, but in many ways it is very much the same as what many women deal with. We don't tell ourselves the truth because we don't know the truth or because we trust our feelings more than we trust the truth.
Jennifer's got these challenges. And she's telling you she hears the lies, but then the truth, if we'll invite truth, it'll overpower.
Yes.
I mean, really to confess what God says, to believe what God says, to know that believing is seeing. And that's mm-hmm. what you found out. Seeing
is
not believing.
No.
Believing is seeing. And without physical sight, you're able to see things that many people don't see. Here's what I would like to say to you, but you may wonder, by the way, we will gladly send you the book, Me, Myself, and Lies. If someone wants to go on your website,
yes,
find out where you're going to be speaking, find out other material you have, what would they go to?
They would go to jenniferrothschild.com, www.jenniferrothschild.com.
And we're going to put the spelling of Rothschild up there.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. And you can find, or you can go to lifetoday.org and we'll tell yeah. you how you can find Jennifer. But we're going to send this book to those of you who just help us help precious children. But let me say this to you. I really believe you were watching today so you could really, with God's help and what you've heard, stop the barrage of accusation. Mm-hmm. The accuser of the brethren is Satan. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he's got the brethren. He's got church folks accusing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Congress and how they act. Well, just go to church and look how they act. I mean, most of them, that's where they learn.
Cool.
And if you really want to see real tension, you just get around a lot of religious folks that not only listen to the lies, but pour them on each
yeah.
other. And I'm telling you, and as long as I'm living and breathing, I'm going to be living and breathing to see the prayer of Jesus answered, mm-hmm. that his family behave like family
Amen.
And love one another.
Amen.
Not like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Not like all the Protestants and the Catholics going at each other, or the
yeah.
Charismatics and the Baptists. Stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop the accusation. Mm-hmm. Let's come together and reason together. Let's be family.
Amen.
Let's stop the barrage of lies. Let's stop delivering those.
Amen.
And let's pray for God to heal our nation. But let's begin in us.
Yes.
We stop the lies. We're not going to listen to it anymore.
No.
You are so beautiful. Can you imagine how much God loves you?
Mm.
That Jesus is right now at the right hand of the Father, daily praying for you?
Yeah. Saying their names. Individually.
Absolutely.
He says each of our yeah. names.
Focus on us.
Yeah.
He loves you so much.
Yeah.
Father, I pray everybody mm. watching will understand how special they are to you.
Mm.
How much you love them. If they're the lost sheep outside the mm. fold wandering, if they're the prodigal in the pig pen, mm. you are the Father waiting for them to come to your arms. Mm. You are the shepherd looking for them wherever they are to lift them up out of the mire and the pit of despair and defeat. God, help them to see that. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
God loves you. Loves you more than anybody on television could ever put in words.
Yes.
He put that love on a cross. That love died for you, and he raised that love to live in you,
yes.
to live in us. Would you say thanks to Jennifer for the wonderful, wonderful testimony of God's grace. I want to show you something. And I'm going to ask you to look with the eyes of love. If you've ever seen a hurt, you've ever seen an accident, you've ever seen a sick child, a person suffering, you say, oh, I wish I could fix it. I want to show you something. You can correct it. You really can. This is not wishful thinking. This is absolute reality. Very real possibility. Please watch closely.
The tool of that enemy, or the weapon, is malnutrition. It's the silent killer that takes those lives. And yet, you know, to stop this, to counteract it, to end this onslaught of the enemy and to literally bring an end, what we all have to do is we've all got to stand together. We've got to form that barrier. We've got to form that line of defense. And then we've got to draw a line in the sand together that says no more. It says from today it stops. From today, we literally will stand as a barrier, as a defense mechanism for the children of Africa, for the mothers of those children on this continent, and we'll say no more. You don't cross this line. Because from today, we'll ensure that each and every one of those children that we can reach gets the food they need, gets the nutrition they need, gets the life that they deserve.
I wish I could freeze frame for a matter of moments on those eyes. I don't know what you see. I think I have at least a glimpse of what God sees. I think He sees precious. Precious are the little ones. I've never understood how anyone could hurt a child. I've never understood how people could just take pleasure in hurting with words or inflicting pain. I never understood college hazing. I never understood any of it. I don't understand that. I don't know how you can look at a child in pain and not want to correct it. And sometimes you can't. But when it comes to hunger, now please listen. I plead with you. The Old Testament prophet said, plead the cause of the widows, the orphans, the hungry. Don't turn them away. If you see someone hungry and you can help them, don't turn away. I'm asking not to turn away. I'm asking you to look and touch and see those little eyes and say, you're precious. They look up, they look so hopeless. Here comes hope. Here comes the blessed hope expressed through us. You see, you heard that missionary son of Peter Pretorius, who's a missionary now, Isaac, telling you what the concern for the continent of Africa. We're asking you to dial that number. It's there if you need prayer. Even today, while I'm saying, look, let's save starving children, 80% of the calls will be from people, perhaps like you said, pray with me. And we will, because God loves you, and we want to help you. But would you call today and say, let me take care of 10 of those children. Let me feed them for the next months. Let me take 5 or 3. You say, well, James, what would it take to feed 10 children for the next 3 months? It takes a gift of $100. To feed 5, it takes 50. To feed 3, it takes 30. You say, 30 is not much, but if it's what you can give, it's a whole lot to those 3 children. And it's a whole lot to the missionaries. If you could give 50 and help us care for 5, do it. I'll always ask you, if there's any way you can, and you know what you can do. Jesus said, what do you have in your hand? Just what do you have in your hand? You take what's in your hand, and we can put this in the children's hand. And in it will be hot porridge soup designed for the nutritional needs in that particular area. Would you dial the number? Would you take your bank card and use it like a check? Give $100 if you can. Give 50 or 30, but please do something. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org. You write a check, and many people still say, that's what I want to do. Make it to Life. The largest gift you can, put it in the mail. We want to send you some gifts to bless you. We want to send you Beth Moore's incredible book, The Life That Overcomes. And we'll send you the 90-day Bible. You can read the Bible in 90 days to those of you who will help us care for 10 children or more, as well as Beth's. Any gift you make to help, we'll send you Beth's book. The beautiful bronze, The Heart of the Father, for those of you who will make a special gift to help us care for 100 children, a $1,000 gift. Some of you can do that, and you'll say, thank God I can do it. But whatever you can do, it's so vitally important. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for going to the phone. Thank you for making that call. You are giving life.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of hundreds of thousands of suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than 2 decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Beth Moore's book, The Life That Overcomes. This Life Outreach exclusive featuring a collection of messages from Beth's heart will inspire you to live an overcoming life each day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may also request our new 90-day Bible, designed to help you read through the scriptures in just 90 days. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
You know, here are two children at school. This little guy's got the United States flag on. I want our country to always be known as a country that gives life to children like these, not only saving their life from starvation, but from malnutrition that keeps them from learning as they should. Everyone in the United States watching me right now, you have a chance to make a gift. And all our Canadian, Australian friends, United Kingdom, European friends, let's all help. Would you right now go to the phone or go online and respond and make the best gift you can possibly make? Please do it. Don't turn away. Do what you can to help. I would like to say thank you for your help. And also, if you'd like to have Jennifer's book, Me, Myself, and Lies, you just make a gift to help us today, and we'll send it to you. And I do want to remind you, the Heart of the Father bronze, the Father's reaching out. He's reaching out, but he uses us as his hands to express his life and love. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to Jennifer Rothschild. Jennifer, we love you. Thanks for being with us. Thank you so much. Thank all of you. Thank you for helping. By the way, if you call to help and can't get through, you keep calling until you get through. Thank you.
Tomorrow, weathering the storms in your life.
But it says this chaos, can't have anyone over syndrome. Isn't that the best? When you can't have anyone over syndrome?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.